You're listening to She Grabs the Mic, and I'm your host, Cole Baker Bagwell. Every week, we'll explore what it means to be happy, present, and whole. You'll hear from courageous women who are kicking ass in their lives and leave with actionable tips that you can apply to reset from toxicity, tune into your gold, and live powerfully from the bedroom to the boardroom. Right now, it's time to grab your headphones, kick back and relax, and get ready to be inspired. Hello, amazing ones. Happy end of December. The theme for today is New Year, Love You. I hope you all are enjoying your holidays and coming into the home stretch of 2023, feeling healthy, happy, whole, and strong as hell. In 4 short days, we're going to be making another revolution around the sun together. And for some of us, a new year represents a clean slate. For many of us, it means resolutions. This week, I'm going to offer you micro coaching to help you button up 2023 with a positive mindset. I'm going to help you rethink your resolutions and take small steps to help you successfully stick to whatever it is that you resolve is important for you and your life. So let's talk a little bit about resolutions. You know, it's all the rage this time of year. Here are a couple of reminders about resolutions before we get rolling. Number one, you can start again and again and again anytime you want. You don't have to wait for the start of a new year or a new month or your birthday or your anniversary or any of these things. You can discover your best self and create your best life anytime you choose, anytime that it feels important to you. So if today is that day, don't wait 4 more days. Carpe diem, baby. Grab it, seize it, do it. Number two, how many of you are pausing to reflect on what you're most proud of for yourself as you wrap up 2023? This is a huge, huge opportunity that so many of us miss. I mean, we spend so much time beating ourselves up, focusing on where we missed, where we failed, what we should have done, could have done, would have done. But when we spend time here, reflecting on what we're most proud of for ourselves, we leave the days, the years, the months of our lives feeling more positivity and more self-love, and that is super important. If you've never tried this, I'm going to encourage you to give it a whirl and see what happens this year. All right. I'm thinking about resolutions a lot, not only because it's the end of the year, but because I recently read a Forbes Health One poll, and I came across some really interesting numbers about resolutions, these little promises that we make to ourselves with good intention and all kinds of gusto, mainly to improve ourselves. Here's what I learned. 64% of women feel more pressure to set resolutions compared to men. Interesting. 36% of women cite mental health as a top resolution for 2024. 52% of women plan to focus on fitness, and 80% of the people who responded to this Forbes Health One poll said that they feel confident in their ability to reach their goals. Now, that number seems super optimistic, right? Here's the rub. That poll survey also found that the average resolution made lasts only 3.74 months. They discovered that 8% of respondents tend to stick with their goals for 1 month. 22% last 2 and 3 months. And then only 13% last a whopping 4 months. And here's another interesting little wrinkle. I learned that there are actually designated days that mark our inability to keep these little promises we make to ourselves to improve ourselves. I mean, did you know that January 17th is known as Ditch New Year's Resolutions Day? I sure didn't. And I also discovered that some people call the second Friday in January Quitter's Day. How's that for a mindset as we start a new year? I mean, I think this is freaking sad. And all of those statistics made me wonder, why do so many of us fall off the resolution wagon? I think it comes down to what we're resolving to do and why. Are you resolving to improve yourself Or are you resolving to love yourself? What's motivating you? Is it internal or is it external? Improving ourselves is well-intended, but it can also imply that we need fixing because we are broken, because we are not good enough. And if we believe that we are broken, that we need fixing, and that we are not good enough, we open the door wide open for shame, guilt, and blame when we fall off the proverbial wagon and fail to keep the resolution, the promise that we made to improve ourselves. Loving yourself, however, creates a whole different mindset that leads to wildly more powerful outcomes. Here's why. That promise you're making is to yourself and from a place of love and acceptance. And once you hold this kind of deep love and regard for you, the choices that you want to make for your life become very clear. Not only that, but this type of promise opens the door for understanding and compassion and forgiveness, even if you fall off the resolution wagon. And when self-love is your motivator, when it is your compass, when it is your why, it's much easier to start over and over and over again because shame, guilt, and blame are not part of the equation. Those things cannot coexist with compassion. So I'm going to illustrate the power of self-love by telling you a deeply personal story. And for the women who know me, this may seem shocking, but this is my truth. So here goes. All right. I had a love affair with cigarettes that started when I was in college. It was cool to smoke. I felt powerful when I smoked. And that's when my nightmare began. It spanned for decades. And it was easy to understand why I smoked. My great aunt, who I adored and looked up to, I mean, man, she was so glamorous and just amazing in every way. She was sexy. She was together. She was powerful. She smoked and all of her friends smoked as well. And so I wanted to emulate her. Everyone in my family thought it was perfectly fine to smoke except one woman, and that was my mother, who said, "You will not, cannot ever smoke as long as you live under my roof." But I did anyway. I smoked as an act of independence, of rebellion, of defiance. I smoked to be in control of something in my own life. It made me feel sophisticated. It made me feel grown up. And even as my mother was bringing home blackened lungs in a jar, no joke, this is a real story. She was a nurse practitioner. And so this one time there was a cadaver who died of lung cancer, and she brought the blackened lungs home in a jar to scare the ever-living shit out of me. And it didn't work because I rationalized my choice to smoke with all sorts of well-crafted self-narratives that were damaging as hell that went something like this. I have amazing genes. The women in my family don't die of cancer and they live to be nearly 100, and I will too. Middle finger to everyone who says I should not be smoking. People smoke all over Europe and I consider Europeans to be intelligent and live well. Another little story I told myself is it's not really smoking if I only smoke a few cigs a day. I told myself there are far worse things I could be doing. And then I rationalized this really damaging choice that I was making for myself by telling myself, well, you exercise, you eat well, you practice yoga, you meditate, you have a happy life. So how bad can this really be? And this went on for decades. As I mentioned, I quit and started smoking again, too many times for me to count. And I told myself I needed to quit. I needed to quit to please my family. I needed to quit to fit in. I needed to quit because I feared cancer. I never told myself that I wanted to quit because I loved myself. I didn't even have the language of self-love. I never learned the term, much less how freaking important it is for our lives. I just never knew it until I did. So every year I resolved at the start of the shiny new year, and every year I failed again and again and again. And I felt so much shame, guilt, and blame that it became part of me. My narrative became really self-defeating because I failed because my motivator was external. It wasn't coming from a place of love for myself. I finally resolved and said, I'm a smoker and that's just how it is. I'm weak. If only I had more willpower. And I will tell you right now that those narratives did nothing but make me feel worse about myself, the opposite of self-love. So when I finally chose to investigate self-love and learn what it meant, learn how to practice it for myself in my life, learn how to offer myself the same level of compassion I had been offering any of the people that I love most in this world, I finally quit. And I went to bed and I told myself, I love you. I love you. And it was the most amazing thing for me because I'd never done that before. I said, I love these things about myself. I love that I can do X, Y, Z, but I had never actually spoken to my soul and said, I love you. And then I came across these beautiful prose written by Jaya John. And here's a paraphrasing of them. And this just really stuck with me and hit home. And here's how they go. Learn in 1,000 languages to say, I love you to your soul. Tell yourself only love stories. Sing your soul to sleep this way. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. As I mentioned, I had said I love you countless times to people across my life who I really felt true, deep, unconditional love for, but I had never spoken those same unconditional words of love to myself or to my soul. And the first night that I began this ritual that I still hold near and dear now, I woke up at 4 a.m. vomiting. I'd gone to bed feeling just fine and woke up and all of a sudden it felt like there was something in my stomach that absolutely had to come out. And as I think about it now, I realize that I was purging the shame, the guilt, the blame, the disbelief, the negative self-talk, the limiting self-beliefs, all of the things that I had been storing and using to beat myself up with for so many years. That's what came out at 4 a.m. It was like this crazy ass ayahuasca ceremony for my soul. That's the best way I can describe it. But it flipped a switch in my brain. And that switch changed my awareness. And it changed my relationship with myself. It opened a portal of love that was so vast that it was astounding. And the love that I felt for myself became my momentum for every single thing in my life from that point on. And as I mentioned, this simple practice is still part of my morning and bedtime ritual, and it still has a profound effect on my life, telling myself, my soul, that I love myself unconditionally. And the women that I coach come to me because they want to discover their best selves. They want to transform something about themselves or their lives. And when we start talking about self-love, I learn that many of them have never learned to love themselves. Some of them even cringe at the mere thought of loving themselves. They didn't have the language. They grew up like I did. They didn't understand the power of the practice. But once they get it, everything begins to change for them because every choice that they make flows through them and from that place of self-love. And the simple fact is, until you feel deep love and appreciation for yourself, your motivation behind the things you want to change or achieve will always be external to you. And that sets you up for failure because the reason that you want to change or achieve something is to please someone else. And if you don't get the validation that you're seeking from those people outside of yourself, that kills any momentum that you might have managed to conjure as you got started, which means any motivation you felt at the start of your resolution, it's going to fizzle out because your attention isn't aimed in the direction that it needs to be to maintain positive momentum that leads to positive change. And this is true for every single one of us. But once you truly fall in love with your whole self, you're working just for you. It's like the most amazing motivator in the whole wide world. And there are three things that I really want to underscore here. I really want you to hear me when I say this. Number one, resolve to love yourself, not to improve yourself. Self-love is a magic tonic, amazing ones. It means accepting all parts of yourself honestly, equally, openly, and without judgment. And it is a freaking game changer. Number two, when your resolution is coming from a place of self-love, your motivation will remain high even if you fail or fall off the resolution wagon. Self-love will motivate you to start again and again and again. And because you love yourself, that compassion will flow through. You will be gentle as you start again instead of beating yourself up. And it makes a huge difference. And number three, I want you to spend some time with this question as you think about these promises, these resolutions that you plan to make for 2024. Is your promise a need or a want? Language is so damn powerful. So get really, really clear on this one. For instance, you may say, I need to lose 15 pounds, or I want to lose 15 pounds for myself because I know that that will help my body become healthier. I need to quit smoking. I want to quit smoking because I want to feel and be my best for as long as my body is alive and well. I need to invest in my mental health versus I want to invest in my mental health because I want for myself to be healthy in body, mind, and soul. So what is your why? Where is it coming from? Now let's shift gears and talk about the practical everyday steps that you can take to be more successful as you make these little promises. I want you to be very successful in actually keeping them, so that you can achieve the things that you want to achieve for you and for your life. This is where brain science comes in. Whether you're making small changes, big changes, or learning something new, neuroplasticity tells us that at any stage in any age of our life, we are not static. Our brains can change. That means we can develop new thoughts, new habits, new behaviors. We can make new choices. It is awesome. So if you're learning how to play the guitar, for instance, neuroplasticity makes it possible. If you want to learn a new language, neuroplasticity. If you want to change something about yourself or your life, neuroplasticity. So here are the three steps. Number one, self-love, which we've covered. Game changer, if you resolve to do nothing else this year, resolve to love yourself. Accept yourself equally, unconditionally, honestly, and without judgment, and just fall in love with who you are as you are right now. That's going to open the portal for change, and it's going to be a big ass game changer when it comes to anything that you have in your sights for yourself and for your life. Number two, small choices. Every little teeny tiny choice that you make adds up and leads to another one. So when I quit smoking, I started waking up earlier in the morning. I started taking a walk so I could see the stars fade and the sun come up. I started journaling. I started meditating regularly. I was committed to it every single day because those were acts of self-love. And then those small changes in my morning led to better changes and even more positive changes in the afternoon and then also in the evening. And all of them came together to help me become more healthy, whole, and just happy as hell with my life. So teeny tiny changes. You don't have to do something monumental. Start small because every single little change that you make, it counts. They add up. And before you know it, you're going to have like this beautiful castle of change that you can just hang out in and you will be so damn proud of yourself. So start small. And number three, so important. We go back to the brain science here. Consistent practice. If you're learning to play the guitar, if you play once a week or if you play 5 days a week, it's going to make a different outcome for you. If you're learning a language, the same thing. So when we think about consistent practice, the reason that it's so important is because it is reinforcing those new neural pathways that you want to create that allow you to grow, that allow you to change, that allow you to learn. So consistent practice, the more you practice, the more familiar that new behavior, that new choice, that new habit will become. And this is just, you know, the recipe for success. And I will share in this episode that this is where the mindfulness-based empowerment coaching that I do with women really becomes a full-on game changer, because a lot of women simply don't have the tools to execute even those three steps, and maybe you're one of them. But when women start working with me, here's what begins to happen. My approach to coaching helps them shift their awareness into the present, which is the power place. It is the only place that is real. The past does not exist. The future is all made up, not even happened yet. And the present is the place that represents possibility. So the type of coaching that I offer helps women shift their awareness, shift their attention into the power place of the present. And that begins to change everything. It helps them shed the toxicity and negativity that's keeping them stuck, and that clears the way for more self-love, more optimism, more confidence, more autonomy over their lives. And now with all of that goodness on board, now they're more empowered to get super clear about what they want, their source of motivation, and more importantly, why they're working toward something. It becomes an internal driver instead of an external thing, because they've gotten clear, because they've shed the crap that's keeping them stuck, and now they're empowered to really see their vision and make it real. And then I also help women identify a game plan for consistent practice, for these little small steps executed over and over and over again. And that leads to the changes that they want to make for themselves and for their lives. And lastly, the life coaching relationship that I share with them gives them the support and the accountability that they need to hold themselves accountable for the things that they have told me are important for them. So if you are feeling like, yeah, you know what? I don't have the tools. I want the tools. I don't know how to love myself yet, but this all sounds really freaking amazing, and I want to be part of this party. Contact me. Send me an email. My email is in the show notes. Go to my website and fill out the contact form. Let's have a conversation about what's possible for you. I would love to help you get there. As we wrap up this very last episode of 2023, my God, I can't believe we're here nearing the finish line of another year. Let me ask you this. What are you most proud of for yourself as you reflect on the past year? What does your resolution look like for 2024? And why are you making it? Is it to improve yourself, or is it to love yourself? Which one is motivating you? And do you have a plan to maintain your momentum and start again if you fail? As I mentioned, if you need support and you're ready to explore a life coaching relationship to empower the ever-loving shit out of you, contact me on my website, email me. Let's talk about the possibilities for your life. Thank you for tuning in over this last year. You are the reason that I create this show. Thank you for sending me notes of love, telling me how the show is impacting you in a positive way or inspiring you. Thank you for sharing it with other women that you love and helping me spread the love, because here's the thing, we are interconnected. And when we share our stories, when we share our experience, when we share our truths in community like this, we become powerful as hell. I'm leaving this year with my soul filled to the brim with gratitude for you. Filled to the brim with gratitude for the love that I have for myself, that allows me to empower and help other women discover their best and live their very best lives. It's been a good damn year. It's been awesome. So until next time, amazing ones, big love and hugs around your heart, and a very, very, very happy new year to you. I hope you kick off 2024 feeling nothing but love for yourself, because when you do, the sky is the freaking limit when it comes to stepping into your power and getting every single bit of beauty, goodness, joy, all of that yummy stuff that you want out of life. Be well. I'll see you next time. And that's the end of the show today, everybody. I hope it has served you well. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you've liked what you've heard, please drop a review wherever you grab your favorite podcast. Please subscribe so you never miss an episode. And please be sure to share this podcast with another woman that you love. If you'd like to learn more about me or my work, check out my website, colebakerbagwell.com. Until next time, remember to be super kind to yourself and do your very best to leave everyone and everything just a little bit better.